Welcome to the realm of magic and mystery, classic horror and sci-fi. You are now entering the House of the Unusual podcast with your hosts, Eddie and Joe.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's House of the Unusual podcast. This week, we have an amazing guest that I've tried to get on several times before. Unfortunately, I didn't have the technology to get him on, but I do now. We are talking about the legendary Lou Weiss. Now, who is Lou Weiss? Lou Weiss started the Fun Factory back in the 1970s, early 1970s. Later on, I searched him around the planet and found him. And in 1989, we started the Fun Factory again. And anyway, Lou, introduce yourself to the public. Go ahead, buddy.
Hello, public.
This is Lou Weiss from the former Fun Factory. And Eddie, you keep popping up like a bad penny every couple of years. It's great. I'm glad you called me tonight. I'm pleased to be on your podcast.
You know, Lou, you want to say a little story how actually the first time I contacted you, do you remember that day still back in 1989?
I remember it like it was the day before yesterday. My wife and I were sitting in our home in New Jersey, and I get we're watching television on a Sunday, and I get a phone call from you, and you said to me, "Is this Lou Weiss?" And I said, "Yeah, who wants to know?" He said, "Is this Lou Weiss of the former Fun Factory?" Now, the Fun Factory was like almost 20 years earlier. And I said, "Yeah, who is this?" And it turned out it was you. You were one of my first salesmen who used to carry the little cardboard attaché case selling tricks and gags and magic and whoopee cushions and x-ray glasses and so on to all of your little friends. I remember it like yesterday.
In reality, the funny thing about it was back then, Lou, I was actually one of your original customers as a kid.
Yeah, you were. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
That is correct.
And now I'm 80. And how old are you, Eddie?
I'm actually turning 60 in 3 months, Lou.
That's a combination of total of about 140 years of wisdom and experience. And so how are you doing now at the House of the Unusual?
Well, what happened basically, believe it or not, Lou, is we've been doing very well. About 3 years ago, I got a phone call from a man named Chuck Caputo. Now, Chuck is a magician and also the world's largest collector of Unverde magic. Now, Unverde is a famous magician from the 1960s. He miniaturized electronics, and that's what he's famous for. He was one of the first people that were able to put little electronic stuff. And anytime you find an Unverde product anywhere on eBay or anything, it sells for a couple of $100s. Well, Chuck in the early 80s started collecting Unverde stuff, and he grew to have the world's largest collection. So they use him as spokesperson for many, like a Hocus Pocus magic company. Right. You know, they have him throughout. So he was in the hospital at the time waiting for his wife. His wife was getting treatment. And he saw an ad for me selling the famous Grey Leon miniature haunted house on eBay. And he reached out to me and said, "Hey, you know, I actually built one of those back in the day." So I found it interesting because nowhere on the internet, even though the Grey Leon haunted house was super famous by the Grey Leon in the 1960s, nowhere in the internet do you see anybody, showing it or advertising or anything. So what happened is I contacted him on the phone like I did with you, and we became, you know, instant friends and stuff. And then him and his wife had been along helping me for the last 3 years. We've put out a couple of magic sets where what happens is he'll do the magic tricks. He'll bag them on baggies for me, send it to me. And then what I do is I put them into boxes and create the ad and everything for the box and, you know, the design of the box. And then we have a product. Now, one of the things that I did do a few years ago is I remade the 7-foot ghost. The Johnson Smith version. Now, right. Johnson says we actually started together, me and you. If you remember that I had the Ghost back then, I have been selling the Ghost probably nonstop since the last 40 years. I've sold hundreds of them. And the box version, what I did with the box version is, since the original Johnson Smith Ghost was, believe it or not, designed by Craig Taubeck and the original owner of Johnson Smith, I forgot his name.
I know who you mean.
Craig would sign a few of the boxes because I printed professional boxes on it. And one, you know, so then Craig would sign boxes, and I started asking $100 for the signed version and $39 actually for the one that wasn't signed on the box. Right. I sold out, I printed 100, and I've got like maybe four left. And I was kind of surprised though, because what happened with the Ghost is that a girl who goes under the name Laura Legends on YouTube, and she's got several thousand, I think almost a million subscribers. She had the Ghost on. I sent her a few items, and she gave me like a good 3.5 minutes of advertisement on. And believe it or not, it cost a landslide. I must have sold that month over 80 Ghost of both the regular one that I sell for $15, you know, the one that I always had that, you know, whatever through you and stuff, the other one. Now, the thing that's interesting is I decided I was trying to write a book, Lou, since, oh my gosh, I think for the last 10, 15 years and around 2011, I didn't really have the funds or the way of really doing it because, you know, to publish a book, you need to at least 10 grand and you got to play around and print so many. Now, you remember, I don't know if you ever dealt with him, but S.S. Adams, was taken over by a name
in Neptune, New Jersey.
Yeah, but Chris Adams, which is probably the one you and me dealt with at the time.
Right.
A guy named Dave Harversat, who actually owns an auction house called Harversat and Ewing. And he actually, what he did is that when he took over S.S. Adams and stuff, they were selling a lot of the items and stuff, but he's been publishing books and, you know, many books and stuff. And so what happened, I believe he has the name of the company is called 1878 Press. It's his publishing company. He's got like about 30 publications on there and stuff. Mm-hmm. So in 2011, Kirk Damaris contacted me. And the reason he contacted me was kind of funny, though, because he was bidding on an original 7-foot ghost from Johnson Smith that came on sale on eBay back in 2009. I wound up winning the bid. I wound up paying for that ghost $978, which was insane. My wife almost killed me. But you know what, Lou? It survived the test of time, just like my original that I had from the Melton Company. Yeah. So anyway, he took the ghost. I mean, he came over, flew up here from Arkansas, and spent basically a weekend with me, and he photographed my collection because he had been given a contract to write a book entitled Mail Order Mysteries. Now, that book went on, and it sold, I think, like 1.5 million copies and stuff. I mean, of course, I got nothing out of it. Just, you know, I got like 5 free books. I think it was where they came here, 10. Right. And he got paid, you know, a small amount. It's just he wanted to be. But the whole point was that I said to myself, man, I wanted to write this book for years before 2011. And I was thinking, so finally, I started a few weeks on October 19th with all the information I've had and collected over the years, from UFOs to Sasquatch to all this stuff. I decided to put together one. And now what I did is Chuck Caputo has been using skulls and skeleton stuff because he's been doing horror magic for the last 40 years. And right. What he does, because he's also an electrician, he knows how to make it. And he makes like some of them will, you know, pick a card. Some of them would shoot the car out of the skull, the mouth, whatever it is. So I told him to photograph all the different models he's had. He had a total of 21. He sent them to me, and then I started on the computer. I started putting together, and I got 21 pages. So then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start publishing on Amazon. And I was able, after 3 weeks, put out my first publication. The thing sold. It actually sold like about 40, 50 copies. that weekend, which was to my surprise. So I started putting together again with all the material I had, and I had Chuck designing the first two books I put out are mostly DIY, which is do it yourself, and it's filled with information on how to construct your own magic tricks. The second one is in, the first one is called Skull Magic Unleashed. And the second is called, you can actually find them on Amazon. If you put on Eddie Guevara, you'll find the second one is How to Haunt with Magic. Now, that particular one outsold the first one. Then, because, you know, if you remember that I was always doing that weird stuff, I remembered a ball in 1974 that was called the Betts Ball. It was a steel ball that was found off Jacksonville, Florida in 1974. By the Betts family. The family claimed after 2 weeks having the ball that the ball will respond to music. You roll it on the floor, came back to you. At the time, the National Enquirer actually wrote a story about the ball. And that story in particular, Lou, it blew up all over the place where the family had to actually sell the house and go back because they just were overwhelmed and with all the different newspapers and stuff. Right. Well, anyway, a guy in Florida, a magician, a friend of mine in St. Augustine, came across that some guy actually gave him a ball that he found in his farm in Orlando that will resemble the Betts ball. The guy's name is Victor, and the magician gave it to me when I went back in September. So I wrote a book about it. It's called Alien Ball from Space, Unraveling the mystery of a Cosmic Artifact. That was my third publication. And then my last publication, which was 2 weeks ago, this is a 168-page book. It's called The Shadows of Time, The Chrono Shadow Initiative. It's based on after 1943 when Nikola Tesla was, by the CIA and FBI, went into his room after he died. The Chrono Shadow Initiative was supposedly started a clandestine group that experimented with time travel. So the book is filled with Roswell, the Mattake experiment, which is called the Philadelphia experiment. It's got the Ketchburg incident, which was in Pennsylvania in 1975, where supposedly a fireball was seen. And then they claimed the thing looked like an acorn. But there's a tie between that acorn and the Nazi bell. If you're familiar with the Nazi bell, that's where they
said. Yeah,
So it's a great book. And, of course, you're going to get your copies, Lou.
I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. But so, Lou, give us a little rundown of what you've been doing for the last several years. I know you.
You mean several decades.
Several decades. You're right.
Yep. Well, after I did my gig with the Fun Factory, I've been in the industrial metals world for the last 50 years. And about 10 years ago, I started a video podcast called Manufacturing Talk Radio. And that's on all the platforms. And we would get guests from different manufacturing industries, different companies, some politicians, the good ones. And we would talk about manufacturing and how manufacturing is a necessary component of the American economy. So I've been doing that now for 10 years. We've done about 850 shows so far. And I just sold my metals company about 90 days ago today. And but I'm still with the company for another couple of years. I'm doing the mentoring and training and so on with the new owners. And the word retirement is not something in my vocabulary. So I look forward to every couple of years to getting a phone call from you.
You know, let me bring up our guest, Lou. And believe it or not, I have a total of about 6,000 weekly listeners or subscribers. Let's just say, I'm not sure if they're all listening at one time, but that's the amount of subscribers. So What I wanted to bring up to the people out there is a little bit of a history. Lou Weiss started the Fun Factory in the early 1970s, and the Fun Factory was actually started by Lou Weiss and Bob Levy. Yeah. Now, Bob Levy had a company called Filer and Levy on Fifth Avenue, New York, a big advertising agency. And Bob Levy, in the early 70s, had started American Circle Corp., which to all the listeners out there that follow mail order will remember that American Circle was around the time with Honor House and Johnson Smith and all those companies. So in the 1985, give or take, I started looking around and figuring, how do I start a mail order business? Just like when I was little, you know, all the stuff I had fun and enjoyed. So I started looking through phone books and stuff. And I also started looking at writing to the different addresses and actually going to the original addresses. So I actually wrote to Lou Weiss a letter one time, and it came back as not forwardable. It's they didn't know if, you know, the person had moved, whatever.
Right.
I took a phone book one day and I said, I have a feeling this man lives in this part of New Jersey. I said to myself, he's got to be Jewish. The reason I figured is because, you know, before I even knew your name, because I realized that all the mail order companies, believe it or not, were actually run by Jewish people. So I got and I called. The first person was, but the second time I called, bingo. I got Lou on a Sunday morning. I couldn't believe it. So he invited me over to his office a few weeks later. We started the Fun Factory together, and Lou ran the last mail order ad that ever ran in comic books in 1992. It was actually the end of 1992, beginning of January of 93. And so together, we could say that the Fun Factory was the last ad to run in comic books. The first ad that was ever run on comic books was the Johnson Smith in the original Superman comic, number one, Action Comics, number one.
Right.
Johnson Smith was the first company, and the last company to run was obviously, Fun Factory. Now, one thing I was going to say.
By the way, Eddie, before you go, do you have a copy of that last ad?
Lou, as soon as we're finished, I got to send you a big package you're going to be enjoying with. Yes, I have. I actually obtained a few things for you, and I have a copy of each of the books published. I think you're going to enjoy them. I published them in both soft cover and hardcover, and as soon as I'm able to see you again, I'm going to teach you the trick, the technique I have where I'm, you know, being able to publish a lot of books. And it's pretty good. It does have a good residual income. It's amazing. I've sold a little bit over 147 books since October. And, anyway, that's something I will definitely get. But one thing I wanted to tell you, Lou, is that somebody actually reached out to me and asked me recently if the original owner of the American Circle was still around. Now, I said, I met Bob Levy. I remember the original owner had gone to Florida and started some hotel chain. Or do you remember anything about that, Lou?
Bob Levy, he and I became best of buddies. And unfortunately, he passed away about 20 years ago.
Yeah, I actually mentioned that to the individual, that he was found in the basement. And, you know,
And he was working on one of my projects, and his wife called me to tell me that he had just passed away.
You know what's crazy about that? If you remember, Franco-American Novelty Company, also owned by a Bob, he died the same way. They found him in his basement, heart attack, around the same time that Bob died, Bob Levy. Whatever happened to Sven, his partner?
I don't know. Sven just disappeared off the planet.
Really? That's, you know, actually, it's kind of funny that you said that, because I was talking to Dave Harvestad a few months or about 2 or 3 years ago, how Chris Adams disappeared off the planet, too. And it's kind of funny because, you know, the house that they housed in, or the big, I don't know if you're aware of that, the big giant building in Neptune, New Jersey, was lost. Like, Chris Adams lost the building, and some company got it for like $55,000. And
really?
They go, yeah, it's the saddest thing in the world. This thing was.
I was down there a couple of times at their building.
I was down. Yeah, I was down there in 1980. I think a little bit before I met you, when I had my magic shop. Right. And Chris gave me a tour of the building, and I remember he took me to where they made the, what do you call this, the smoke from fingertips and the smell.
Yeah, right.
It was horrendous. I'll never forget that.
That was great stuff.
And, you know, it was kind of funny because I was also thinking the time I went up to meet with Mr. Wagman, I remember telling you the story back in the 80s where I was like, I don't know, 17, 18, 16 years old, whatever, and I went to meet with Mr. Wagman. People that don't know, Edwin Wagman was the owner of the original Honor House.
Right.
And
right.
He has
in
started
Long Island.
Yeah, in Long Island. He has started in 35 Wilbur Street. He started in the early 40s, and I think it was four brothers that ran the company. And when I went to meet this guy, first of all, he told me to write him a letter. I got there, and he told me I had to write a letter. So then the secretary goes, wow, he wants you to write a letter. So I wrote him the letter, drove back there. Cheek actually forced him to meet with me. And when I walked in, Lou, there's this guy behind a glass table. It would look like a pulpit in a Catholic church. Right. Like when you go up, it was like amazing. I go, wow, this guy is like, and I remember him, you know, he brings out a couple of the old catalogs and stuff. But, you know, long story short, I wound up getting from him after my fourth or fifth visit, one of the original Polaris nuclear sub, and making it that I probably have the only one in the world.
As long as you have baking soda to fuel it.
No. This is the Polaris sub, the 7-foot one. Remember that one?
Yeah. Right.
If you look at my YouTube channel, actually I unboxed it one day. It's got like 18,000 views, which was one of my most hits on the YouTube channel. But right now, this episode we're at is the fourth season, episode 3, I believe. I've got a little bit over 285 episodes out there in all the platforms, from iTunes to... but Lou, you were the only one missing in action.
So I'm back in the saddle again.
Yes, you are.
I have a quick funny story. It's a little off topic, but let me tell you a little story. When I was running Fun Factory, I used to get some crazy stuff in the mail from inventors who invented this, that, and the other thing. And they always wanted investors to invest money into developing these little inventions. And this fellow invented a little box. It was a little plastic box, and it was big enough for one of those square 9-volt batteries, and also a tiny speaker. And the speaker was maybe a 1-inch diameter speaker. And they had a little transistor and a little diode. But the whole thing, the box was maybe 1 inch by 2 inch by maybe half to three-quarter of an inch thick. And all it did was, and there was an on and off switch, and all it did was, when you turned it on, it would go tick. And then another 5, 8, 9 seconds later, it would go tick. And that's all it did. So I said to my, and he gave it to me, and he said, you know, play with it, see what we could do with it. So one Saturday afternoon, I went over to a friend of mine's house, and we're talking and carrying on. We're watching Saturday afternoon college football. And he went upstairs to get a couple of beers, and I went into his air conditioning room where the air conditioner compressor was. And I had the box, little box with me, and I put it inside the air conditioning vents in the house. And I left it there. I turned it on. I left it there. I forgot all about it. A couple weeks later, I go back to his house. I see there's a plumber outside. And I said, Arnie, what's with the plumber? He said, this is the damnedest thing. I said, what? He says, I have a drip someplace in the house, and we can't find it. I said, what do you mean you have a drip? How can you not find a drip? He said, well, we don't see the water, but we hear it dripping. And especially in the middle of the night, no matter what room we're in, we hear tick. And I said to myself, oh my God, I don't know if I should tell him or not tell him. So he's telling me the whole story. He's had plumbers, he's had electricians, he's had a whole lot of people come into the house, repair people, and no one can find what's making this little tick. So I finally said, Arnie, follow me. And I go into his air conditioning closet. I take the screen off, and I take out this little box. And he said, what's that? I said, this is a tick machine. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, and I told him the story about Fun Factory, and I said, I put it in your air conditioning system, and I forgot all about it. He said, we have been up for weeks listening to that in the middle of the night. And we had a great laugh over it.
You know, it's funny that you said that, because today my daughter actually just had her third baby.
Ah, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Another little girl. So it adds now three to the family there. My first grandkid is 11, and then my granddaughter is 7, and this one, just another little girl. But I was going to say, when she was a few months ago, when she was like a month pregnant, I had a cricket device, because they and I put it under, I think it was her room or something, and I forgot about it. Went home, and she wanted to, like, she was so upset at me the next day, because the whole night she said she stayed awake trying to figure out where the noise was. So when you flipped the light on, the noise would stop.
Right, right.
And
right.
It was kind of, I think that guy invented the predecessor to all this.
So you had a tick machine too.
A tick machine. And, you know, it's kind of funny that you said that, because one, you also reminded me, you remember that the, and this is another funny story. If you remember that I always was looking for the Melton Company back in the day when I first met you, and I was looking
for the
robot plans. Well,
right.
You gave me all the Fun Factory stuff, including some printouts and stuff, which I still have, of what the weekly sales were. And among that, you gave me the original phone book for the Fun Factory.
That's right, I did.
So I still have that phone book to this day with all the index cards in
it. Maybe the Smithsonian Institute wants it.
Well, the funny thing about it is one day I'm up in Garden State Plaza in Paramus, New Jersey.
Right.
I'm sitting with Dave Hoversett in my car, and we're looking for, and I don't know what it was. I turned, or he turned, and he goes, did you see in Lou's phone book, did you see this? And you had the phone number for the guy that ran the Melton Company. I could not believe it. But, of course, this is 20 years later.
Oh, I don't even remember it.
We started calling. Listen, I drove to Chicago, Illinois, in search of that Melton Company just to get the robot plans. And you know what's ironic? To this day, I've never came across it. Yet they sold thousands of them, but I have looked. There's been collectors all over the country looking. There is one guy that I know had it. And what happened was, is when the book Mail Order Mysteries came out, I was showing this guy. And this guy's name is Mike. But, you know, it's got to be the worst guy to have it, because the guy's a total whatever. And he goes to me. I show him the Abracadabra Magic Shop, which was run by Bob, if you remember him.
Yeah, yeah.
The Abracadabra Magic Shop happened to have one that used to look like a Frankenstein. So he showed it. He goes, oh, I got the other one. The guy is inside. You could see the little kid. And I'm like, oh, my God, this guy has the plans. When he knew that I wanted them, he would not, oh, I can't find, which is a lie, because he goes to me, yeah, I have him in my thing. He even has the Coca-Cola thing. Now, I know people said to me, maybe he was, no, listen, the reason I know he wasn't pulling my leg is because he described it to a T. I know he had it. And the best part about it was that when he knew, like, he's the type of guy, even his friends, a lot of his friends don't like him. And when he told me the story that his brother had a, I forgot what it was. Yeah, the if you remember the 1960s, there was a haunted house called the Hooting Tooting Marks Haunted House, something like that.
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
Vaguely, today it sells for like $1,500, sometimes $2,000 in a box.
Wow.
And it so happened, he told me his brother had one. His brother died and sold it before he could get it. So I'm like, okay, if his brother did that to him, this guy's nut. He's no way he's going to give me this plans. Now, I actually got one of those houses, and I had it in my collection. And I go in a Chiller Theater, the convention that's held every 6 months in Persephone, where all the collectors, I mean, it's got over 150,000 people visiting in 3 days. And I go there and I say, listen, I'll give you the house. And then he looked at it and he got, well, I said, what is so hard? Why don't you show me the plans? Give me a photocopy of them. I'll give you a few $100s. He goes to me, no, because you're going to, and I said, you think I'm going to sell it and make a fortune? You think people are actually going to, I mean, the guy's an idiot, total idiot.
Right,
but
right.
Do you remember Warner Brothers Jungle Habitat?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. He has an original clip of Jungle Habitat, like the actual commercial on 35 millimeter film. And he doesn't want to show it to nobody because he thinks like, oh, he's the only, it's retarded. The guy is crazy. But anyway, the story goes, and I wanted to say that it was amazing that the, you know, your book actually had the telephone for the Melton Company. And that's been the only guy that I have been searching for. Now, of course, he probably passed away, like Jack Aboff. You remember Jack? When he called?
I remember the name, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Aboff is the fun house.
Right.
When he called me and you and said, you guys can't use the Fun Factory because I bought the name. Remember that?
I do.
And that's why I changed it to House of the Unusual. But the funny thing is that Jack Aboff passed away. And his, whatever his storehouse was of products, I actually contacted his wife, believe it or not, 2 years ago. And she said, I know nothing. It was all my husband. She was a really nice person on the phone.
Right.
And she goes, I got to be honest with you. I don't know what happened to the collection, who took it. Like, she was just clueless on it.
Right.
And I said, that's amazing, because the 7-foot Frankenstein and the 7-foot skeleton that, Lou, I believe you sold them at one time.
I did. I
know you, back in the 80s, I was trying to figure out where we got them, and you did not remember the time, but I was going to tell you.
That and the switchblade comb was my best seller.
Oh, yeah, the switchblade comb. I got so many of those. you know, I was going to tell you, it was kind of funny because Craig Taubeck, I said, Craig, are you aware that you actually made a catalog with the 7-foot Frankenstein and skeleton, and Honor House stole that entire ad right off the pages of Johnson Smith? They added a coffin where the, you know, where the coupon was,
right.
And they ran away for 10, 15 years selling that. And he goes, yes, Eddie, I guess we didn't really went after people back in the 70s. I was surprised, though, and he said, Eddie, I remember it vaguely. I don't remember where we got it. And what I had tried to do at the time, Lou, was before I went ahead and made them, I came, you know, I was looking to see, because when I went to Honor House, the very first time I went, there was a guy named Ruben, and believe it or not, it's the same Ruben that used to work for Franco America.
Right.
And he used to work in Honor House. And he went in the back and he bought me 11 skeletons and 10 Frankensteins with the original.
Really?
Yeah, he goes, here.
Wow.
And the only thing I could say, what about the Monster Ghost? Do you have the Monster Ghost? And I wanted it because, believe it or not, Honor House had, I remember the instructions. I don't have them, unfortunately. I think I lost them in the fire I had in 1995 because I never saw them again, or even prior to that. But let me tell you, Lou, those instructions were so nice, the way the ghost was printed on it and all that stuff, I actually wanted it really bad. And no, there was none there. I even asked Wagman, and he said, and, you know, then some connections and stuff here and there, they looked, and there's nothing. I there was no possible way. Just like but the funny thing is, you know what, Lou? Whenever anything like this comes out on eBay or something, anything that's original, and here's a thing that's funny. If you remember the remote control bat for $1 that was sold by the Melton Company.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the 7-foot. I have the original bat. The instructions I don't have. I lost those when I was little. But if you were to get, even today, one of them to pop up anywhere, they would probably go for several hundred dollars.
Wow.
In fact, when the 7 foot goes from Johnson Smith, which was the first and only time ever to come out on eBay, it was bizarre because what happened is it cost, I think it was like, if I remember, seven people were bidding on it. And Kirk had gone as high as $974. I won him by like $2. The funny thing is, Kirk, his part-time or something, is he's a professor at a college in Arkansas. And he teaches graphic arts. And he was there watching the computer in his chair while he was teaching class. When he lost the ghost, he was so disappointed. He got sick in his stomach. He went home. He wasn't feeling well and stuff. And then a couple of weeks, not even like a week or two later, the guy who sold me the ghost said, "Hey, there's this guy that contacted me, and he's willing to pay you. I think it's $20 a photograph or $40 a photo of the ghost if you could send him. So maybe you can make some of your money back," he told me. So when I contacted the guy, he comes back. I said, "Eddie, is this you?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "This is me, Kirk." And that is what made him come up here. And the book Mail Order Mystery, I think, was devoted to my collection due to the fact that that ghost, he wanted it so bad. And that's the only way he was going to see it.
Eddie, you and I, we make a mark in history.
Lou, you, Craig, and Bob from the Abracadabra Magic Shop are the last remaining mail order people that own companies back then. I guess that makes me the fourth now. But I'm going to tell you something. Todd Mitchin, which has been, if you go to my YouTube channel, my podcast is, I've been airing it on YouTube, but there were some, if you go under the YouTube channel, look under live, I actually did a couple of podcasts that were live, and there's one in particular that's called $1 billion in U.S. gold, which is about, there's a diver named Dave Allen, which I met many years ago, and he was one of the original divers that bought up the Atocha. The Atocha is a Spanish galleon. That story, and in the 1980s with Mel Fisher, he actually bought up the Atocha, and he also shows a coin there that this guy was able to sell me. I was so happy to get an original, real treasure. I will show you that, Lucas. I have it in hand, and I'm definitely going to meet up with you soon. But what I was going to tell you, though, is that he is in that show, and there's a man there named Todd Mitchin. Todd has been working with Yolanda, and it's kind of ironic because him and Yolanda were talking, but then when he called me up after Mail Order Mysteries like 4 years ago, and we were talking on the phone like 4 hours, and we became best of friends. And Todd is 64, I think 63, 64. And he's been helping Yolanda, and he actually retired, and he's been helping Yolanda and Yolanda is the ex-wife of Harold Vanbrugh. You remember the story with Harold on you, so I'm not going to... and I remember when I told Harold that I was with you, oh my gosh. I don't want to even mention that, but when I told him, and then I thought, well, I'll say Honor House. And when I said Honor House, I remember him telling me, "You know what? That guy, I sued him too. He's using monkeys as life, I don't know what, the pharmaceuticals." Oh my gosh.
I was sued by the sea monkey guy.
Yeah, Harold.
Harold, and I was in the lawyer's office in Brooklyn, New York, with my attorney, and this lawyer, he made a living on the lawsuits for the sea monkeys. Of all the people that had copied it and advertised it and ripped him off, and this lawyer had a pile of file folders on his desk. And he says, "You see that pile? Those are all my winning sea monkey cases."
Oh my God! You know what's crazy about that? Believe it or not, if you look up, I believe it was about a year or two ago, there's a story online that says the Sea Monkey Empire, Yolanda licensed out her sea monkey stuff to Big Toy Company, I think it was, and they failed to pay her royalties for a couple of years. And she actually sued, and it came out in the paper. And I actually called her up. I said, Yolanda, what are you, what, you know, because I hadn't spoken with her in years. And we befriended again. You know, I started speaking with her. And then Todd has been designing all the Sea Monkey stuff. But now Yolanda got paid. And believe it or not, it's a $6 million a year business.
Wow.
Like the Sea Monkeys are, it's amazing. That's one of the longest surviving products, I think.
It was amazing. It was really amazing.
And and then another guy that reached out to me, do you remember, and this is kind of funny though, because a lot of people probably not going to remember this. Do you remember the time you bought me from Rutgers University a paper? And this is in the early 80s, you know, when we met. And you said, hey, Eddie, look at this. And they were selling the Charles Atlas Company.
Oh, was, yeah.
Do you remember that article? I still got that article, believe it or not.
And you're quite the collector, Eddie.
Yeah, well, I have it. Now, the thing is that the article read that the Sea Monk, I'm sorry, that the company was being sold. So I contacted and I called because you told me to call it and see if we can get it, you said to me. So I called Charles Roman, which was the guy who started the, he's the guy that actually drew, he drew the, you know, the Charles Atlas ad with the little guys kicking sand in the face and stuff. And he was asking $100,000. And I told you, and you said, absolutely not, you know, but later on, the company was bought by a we call him Doc. He's actually a friend of mine. And he bought the company. He said he paid a lot more than that. I don't know how much he paid. It's not disclosed, whatever. But it's funny because, you know, that's the story. And a lot of people don't realize that me and you actually contacted Charles Roman before anybody did.
I remember. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. And
a
you
lifetime.
Yeah, you said to me, go check this out. And it was phenomenal because I said, oh, okay, definitely, you know. And I remember the article said that the company was making about $20,000 a year, but he was selling the trademark. And you know, talking about trademarks, my trademark just came, House of the Unusual, came up recently. I had to renew the 10th because you renew it after 5 years and then you wait 10 more years. And, you know, I was on the 10-year renewal. And I accidentally sent a copy of the website and they came back and they say, hey, listen, we need copy that is in commerce. So I had to resubmit all this paperwork and stuff and show them that it's never ceased to not be used.
Right.
Use it publication, T-shirts, you know, for the longest time. But it was very interesting, Lou. And it's kind of funny because people out there are probably going to say this. Normally, my podcasts are half an hour, but talking to you, Lou, is phenomenal. And it's gone over a little extra. I'm going to let it go for a few minutes more. And because
Before we part, I'd like to make sure that we get together and have a lunch.
Oh, we're definitely going to get together. Lou, I will get your information. I will call you after the podcast.
Okay.
And I got to get the stuff there because I know that we've been in contact on and off for so many years. And it was kind of funny, though, because every time I call you, and I remember the story the second time I met, I called you out of like 20 years. And you said to me, you were talking about me to your accountant earlier in the day.
Right. It was amazing.
Yeah, you go to me, Eddie, my hair is standing on end. You call me. And I call
you. It's true. You're like a spooky guy.
But you know what, though, Lou? It was a great experience. And thanks to you, my dream of having a mail order company happened. You know, and I had my magic shop prior to meeting you. And I remember you said, hey, Eddie, close that. Give it up. I'm going to give you a little office down in the basement of your warehouse. And then I remember taking over 100-something packages that were coming in. And it was kind of funny because I remember your, I don't know if she's still with you, the accountant you had at the time, remember? The elderly lady?
She passed away.
I was about to say that because I remember she was kind of old. But you had her, and you had a girl that was younger, that was pregnant, and she actually wrote for us some type of programming software she wrote that we were able to.
Mary McCagliano.
Yes, Mary. And I remember so funny that when you introduced me to them, they all loved me in the beginning. And then when I would go there and always go get the thing, they're like, this guy is coming here, causing us all this extra work. You remember all the mail that we got, all the envelopes with all these loose change inside? And
I loved Mondays.
Oh, my. Here's the best thing that I'm going to tell you about it. Do you know that, Lou, I have 3 shoe boxes with all the orders we ever got?
Stop.
I'm serious.
Really?
If you go, yeah, if you go into either my Facebook, or you'll see a layout of all the envelopes somewhere along there. There's pictures of it. I have to look up and send it to you later. But there's a layout of all the envelopes, Lou. And this is funny because all those envelopes, you will see where Mary stapled each coupon,
right?
And you could see the little kids writing in there. I don't know how she was able to decipher that. And together with that, I have 4 checks that arrived that were never cashed, and they're still in the original envelope that they came in. And I also have the printouts of all the mailing lists that Mary gave me. I have a printout of the Fun Factory that you did in the early 70s, like 71, 72, with the weekly and yearly sales. And this is printed on a long green paper on both sides. You remember those printers that were going, they were dot matrix printers?
Yeah, of course.
And I have your phone book, 3 original Fun Factory catalogs that you still had in your... and actually, I think they were given to me by Bob Levy. I don't know if you remember when you took me to the office in New York that he pulled out a milk crate and I was looking through the milk crate.
And I do.
Gosh, I remember that. And but anyway...
Eddie, I want to see all this stuff when we get together.
I am going to bring them to you. I'm actually right now in the process of moving my storage unit from one unit to another.
Right.
So I'm going to get that stuff. And I know you're not going to believe it, but when you see it, you're going to go, wow. I actually have, let's put it this way, I pay almost $1,300 a month in storage. I have a 15 by 15 foot storage, a 10 by 10, a 10 by 15 and a 5 by 10. And you know, it's to the very door. And I have every letter me and you ever exchanged, you wrote for me. In fact, I have a little thing, it was like a napkin that you wrote a phone number while you were sitting at the desk at 117 Fort Lee Road when we were there. And
you
gave me a number and you say, contact this person. And a lot of people don't remember this, but I'm going to bring also something. Lou, do you remember when Ally Products was the company back in those days? They started doing the lawn and leaf packs for Halloween with the ghost.
Yeah.
Do you remember that you said to me, contact the company, maybe they'll make the ghosts for us? I contacted that company. I spoke to a lady in marketing. She wanted me to send her a sample. I did not send her the sample. I told her I would like to meet up with you. She called me back and said, can you send? And I didn't. I was reluctant to. The following year, Lou, I don't know if you remember that. They printed a ghost that was 7 feet tall with flashing eyes and was sold. I was so livid. And then the Chinese company, I forget the name of the Chinese company, started selling them about 2 years later in dollar stores across the nation. And Dollar Tree was selling. And I remember I was so angry on this that I drove down to Florida with my wife and I stopped at every dollar store that I could on literally every parking. Every stop that I did from here to Florida, it took me 4 days to get there.
Yeah.
And I bought over $450 worth of ghost. I didn't want no one to have it. So I started, I was younger at the time. I was like 20 something. So, you know, I would do, but the ghost was redesigned by me. It took me about 10 years. And I designed, I think I finished like around where me and you were in business.
Yeah.
And then, I started selling it, and Lou, let me tell you, I've sold, I think, to date over 3,600 individual ghosts.
Unbelievable. Like,
and so
let me ask you a question in the finality. How crazy does your wife think you are?
That's an interesting question. I don't know how she's born. We've been married, we're going on 41 years right now.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. And it's kind of funny though, because I guess I do have my oldest daughter's 37, my son is 31, and my youngest daughter's 27. My son is a police officer in not too far from where you're at, and my daughter is a a school teacher, the youngest. Mm-hmm. The oldest and her husband, they own a Allstate agency, and they do real estate. They have a brokerage,
right.
And
right.
So
right,
yeah,
right.
It's been a long time. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but you know what I like the best part, Lou, and this is the funny thing. They complain that I have too many toys. They complain, but when Christmas comes, guess what they give me? They give me toys. So my daughter goes to Home Depot. She'll buy any animatronic that's sold during Halloween. She gives it to me, and then she complains that I'm a hoarder. And
I think the audience listening here will get the message that you are a hoarder in view of all of your storage units.
Well, I got to tell you something, Lou. The funny thing about it is that, in a sense, I saved from the time I met. I still have the original letter, which was given back to me by Mr. Wagman.
Right.
That I wrote him in 1986 or 83, whatever it was. And I have the original letter. He gave it back to me because he had it on his desk. And I got to tell you this. I also have probably the largest collection of original Anna House stuff. but the thing I was going to tell you, though, is I have every paper trail, everything in search of the robot plants when I was with you, everything we did, everything we pulled when you spoke to Bernie Slotnick, which
you know, Superman.
Yeah, I wonder if he has passed away. You know, Bernie Slotnick, his niece, used to be the one that advertised for... her name was Susan Berkeley, I think it was, and she used to appear in the Howard Stern show all the time, and he used to call her Susan Berserkowitz. That was his niece, and she used to run Archie Comics.
I didn't know that.
Actually, her father owned Archie Comics. So
wow.
Bernie Slotnick and the head of Boys Life magazine, the CEO, on the phone, could not tell me who was the Melton Company guy, even though the guy ran ads over 10, 15 years.
You had to come to me for that.
Well, I didn't. And at the time, I didn't know you couldn't find them either.
I
always wanted to see somebody's got to have those plans somewhere in the world. And I'll probably find it when I least looking. But it's been 40 years, Lou. And I just want to see what they look like. You know what I mean?
Let's get together.
We will. So
this was a lot of fun, Eddie.
Lou, it is a lot of fun. We have to complete the hour. We have another 5, 6, 7 minutes. I want you to tell me what other have you been doing in the last couple of years, and how successful is your podcast?
Well, this podcast, as I mentioned, Manufacturing Talk Radio. We actually had 4 or 5 other, again, manufacturing podcasts, but the main one was Manufacturing Talk Radio. And we had, this past year, we had 700,000 downloads of those people who, you know, listen to our shows. And our shows were not pure podcasts. They were video podcasts. So if you go to YouTube and look up Manufacturing Talk Radio, you'll see me and about 400 or 500 video shows and our guests that we've had over the years.
Yes, I actually remember seeing one of your shows. You know, I wanted to tell you that and I know he's going to be like, oh my gosh, what? I tried calling him, but I know he didn't pick up. But Craig Tarbeck would have loved to, and that's another interesting thing. Craig Tarbeck, if a lot of people out there actually have seen it, and in fact, I'm going to send you, Lou, a video. that was given. It was done by some radio station, I'm sorry, TV station in somewhere in Michigan. And she was saying, we wanted to go inside the Johnson Smith company. And we got a letter from this guy that doesn't seem too nice, Mr. Craig Taubeck. And he turned out, and I have that video. I'm actually going to send it to you because you're going to enjoy
it. That's great. And they were in Mount Clemens.
Mount Clemens, and they were there, But the thing that's kind of funny, too, is that Craig Taubeck, when I first tried to reach out to him, you know, he was kind of very conservative. He wouldn't really give you too much of information or anything. And then when I told him about you, that I had met you, and he was so fascinated with that because you had tried to hire him for the fun.
Yes, I did.
And because of that, it kind of bonded me and him. And I went to Florida and I did something crazy like what I did with you. I drove with my father 300 and I think it was 57 miles to have lunch with Craig. And that bonded us. And throughout the years, he has helped me sometimes write ads and, you know. But the thing is, believe it or not, is the history, you know, he doesn't remember much of, because, I mean, like he said, Eddie, the difference between me, you, and Lou and stuff is that me and Lou, we did it for the business. You did it because you loved the product. We just wanted to make money, and that was it.
Right.
But because of Craig, Morris Costumes, the owner of Morris Costumes, I don't know if you're aware, but Craig has a little slight relationship with the Philip Morris. And his wife does and stuff. And he stayed in Philip Morris' house and all that. And because of Craig, I was able to build a good relationship with Loftus Novelties.
I remember them.
They knew him very well. And you know, and also, believe it or not, I believe How to Haunt with Magic and Skull Magic Unleashed are going to be offered through the Morris Costumes company soon. And that's because I'm, you know, I've become friends with Scott and that's because of Craig. So you guys actually, you know, launched me to the next plane. But anyway, Lou, I will talk to you soon in a couple. But for now, people out there, I'm glad you guys have listened. Again, if you guys go to Amazon, you can look under Chuck Caputo or Eddie Guevara, and the books will, you know, appear that we're selling. I hope you guys, if you do buy a book, please leave a 5-star. We would appreciate the review. There's been a lot sold, but not too many people leave reviews. A lot of people forget, but we would appreciate that because it helps the algorithm. And having said that, Lou, it's been a pleasure having you on board.
It was fun, Eddie, and we'll get together soon.
Yes, God bless. I'll talk to you soon, Lou. Take care now.
You take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.